You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, Teddy Lee Knox. Hello, Teddy.
Hello.
Good afternoon. We've got a special episode, a special guest joining us, the CEO of Rate Hero, Mr. Curtis Garrett. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, I'm really good to be back.
We're glad to have you. It's a rainy day here in Columbus, Ohio, but we're powering through. We are talking about the value of 3PLs in LTL transportation. For all our listeners out there, LTL, less than truckload. Our main man, Curtis, has got a lot of expertise here, so we're going to dive right in. Let's talk about, 3PLs, which we would consider ourselves, Curtis. Some of them can be called kind of managed transportation side of things, or what certainly from my 17 years of experience, 3PLs would also be called brokers, right? Can you kind of talk about the differences there when managing LTL or shipping LTL with customers?
Absolutely. There's so much nuance, even in the names, right? Broker versus 3PL versus managed transportation or managed logistics provider. I definitely think the brokerage terminology is kind of just inherited from, the longer history on the truckload brokerage side, where it's really more about, the matching of a shipper with a carrier or a truck.
Right.
In LTL, it's so different because obviously there's just so fewer carriers. There's really, if you look at the industry, there's the top 10 that control, about 90% of the market. There's really only about 30 or so that I would say are really the viable networked LTL carriers that have a number of terminals, cross docks in their region or their footprint, have consistent, company assets, drivers, personnel that are basically always there, to pick up and move freight and deliver it and make sure it processes through their network. So that's where the terminology, and I think a lot more specificity can come into play on the LTL side. Just a lot more, systematized, and it's less about saying, hey, I have a rate, cheap rate. It's especially where it's from some unknown mystery carrier that third party might have a line to that their customer doesn't. And it's really more about adding value, both sides of the coin. So the shipper in the equation, as well as the asset-based carrier on the other side. And for that reason, it's harder to really play true middleman or middle person in the equation, because you've got to assume as a 3PL or a broker that your shipper probably has interacted or had partnerships directly with almost every LTL carrier out there at some point.
Sure.
So just from a cultural, like a relationship and partner side of things, it's hard to just come in and insert yourself and say, all right, carrier, back off. This is my client now. It's not going to go well if that's kind of the approach. It's got to be more, we're here to help. We're kind of the third important piece in this triangle with now three parties involved, and less of, just playing telephone and filtering and kind of customizing the narrative to each party on either side.
That's a great call. It reminds me of the immortal Jerry Maguire, let me help you, right?
Help me help you.
There you go.
The quote, right.
I'm glad. Thank you for that, Teddy. The specificity element that you touched on, Curtis, I think that's really important. I know we've talked about it on a previous podcast, being CPG, 85% of Zipline's freight is CPG. And so you're talking about retailers. That's a huge element of the CPG deliveries, the specificity, or, we call them preferred carriers, right, into those specific retailers. So that narrows down that small carrier base even more. And we have had, I don't know if difficulties is the right word, but there's a learning curve for that 15% that's outside of the CPG, where we're delivering or shipping or delivering into non-retailer, or it's a different product, right? Maybe it's a food ingredient, or maybe, I don't know, some other product that's not a consumer package good. And, we think you should use ODFL. They're the best of the best. Or we think you should do this. And then a customer will come back and say, I booked it with carrier X. They are $700 cheaper. And you know, that's tough for some of our newer sales rep or our newer operations reps to kind of process. Is it like, well, you always told me that, you know, this carrier is the best. And it's like, well, different customers have different needs, right? You got to deliver into UNFI with this particular carrier base or Walmart with this particular carrier base. But this receiver will take anybody.
I think to that point as well, it's just as important to make sure you understand who goes into the shipper as well. You know, if they work well or not. Curtis, to your point of if they have any of those pre-existing relationships, if they have a carrier constantly coming in at a certain time, sometimes it makes more sense to understand that, take the time to communicate and work with that carrier as long as they will go into the receiver that you are delivering to. But also, if it's a remote location, not every LTL terminal has the availability to get there by the cutoff.
Right.
And again, Curtis, to your point, I loved about you coming in and saying that you can't just come in and take over. When you're talking about a logistics network, it is just that. It's not just one broker. It is a network, and it's multiple people and being able to work together to communicate and kind of give and take whatever that is, whatever their responsibilities are, which I think is key to a customer having a good supply chain.
I think if you keep the focus on the customer, like the account level versus the shipment by shipment, rate by rate level, especially on the LTL side, where there's going to be so many differences, you know, like none of these LTL carriers are evaluating individual shipment or quote requests and giving you a price like that they come up with on the spot, right? It's all pricing frameworks, whether it is labeled like a spot or volume type, you know, quote, which is typically driven by the amount of space taken up on the trailer as well as the origin destination, whether it's your more traditional class based pricing, so class, weight, and zip codes, or whether it's, you know, some of the newer, more dynamic pricing, dimensional driven pricing, pallet pricing, all of these methods of pricing on the LTL side, they're all frameworks. They're all pricing algorithms and systems that have been set up to operate profitably for the carrier at a whole. But it's just unreasonable to think that, you know, every carrier or your carrier in the situation is going to be able to beat the price of your competitor or somebody else that your shipper customer might have found on every single shipment.
Right.
So I see a lot of frustration where you're getting just single shipment opportunities to quote in the LTL world, which obviously is a lot more common in truckload. And yeah, you may not have the lowest price and the best transit every single time. And that's why you really need to focus and wrap your arms around just customer and account level satisfaction and kind of get through to your customer that's what you're focused on as well. These carriers are, you know, depending on the size of them, they're picking up anywhere from the larger ones are picking up almost 100,000 shipments a day. And so they're probably getting quoted on, you know, 2 million rate quotes a day, something like that. So down to the regionals, which would be maybe 10 to 15,000 shipments a day, but still generating hundreds of thousands of quotes. So you just have to understand that, you know, as long as your 3PL or managed service provider, like a Zipline, is kind of analyzed whole account, the whole freight spend, you know, ideally a year's worth of shipments and negotiating the best overall pricing, you've got to stay at that bigger picture look and not worry about, hey, we're expensive on this one. Like, let's blow up the relationship because of that.
After this podcast, we're going to have you talk to our sales reps and our operations reps as well to make sure that they can have that bigger picture view, because it's tough out there when you are losing quoting opportunities or freight opportunities for those small dollar amounts. But it's a great mindset to have, right? You have to have that bigger picture thought process and, you know, and evaluate with those customers if they're not a right fit for you or your company, right? I mean, that's the name of the game. Prioritize the people that make the most sense.
Yep.
What, Curtis, in your opinion, or any specifics around what a 3PL can do to help out an LTL carrier?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that fall into this category. One of the most obvious and just repeatable is helping share in, you know, customer service, basically the load of whoever is the end customer paying for that shipment or, you know, expecting the goods to show up, which in some cases is the same party. They're the ones that ultimately need to be taken care of, need to, you know, have some level of comfort with the right expectations. So they're going to have the questions. They're going to want you know, tracking updates. They're going to want access to the tracking data. They may or may not care about the final invoice charges, obviously, depending on if they are paying the freight or not. But when you don't have a 3PL in the mix, you know, the carrier is just blown up with all of those questions and demands. And really, I think of the LTL carriers as magicians in the sense of, like, it's pretty impressive they can pick up a single pallet, you know, in Florida and get it the center or the western coast of the country, you know, within just a short number of days at a pretty affordable price. So their networks are humming along to be able to have all the orchestrated, you know, different people, trucks, vehicles, cross-docks in play to make that happen. And that's what they're really good at. And so I like to think that, you know, where a lot of the value prop of a good 3PL is being kind of front lines, being accessible to their customers, and, you know, either having the right technology driven inputs or having the right pathways to get the information from the carrier for their customer. That's just probably a task that's better suited for a good 3PL. And then on the contrary, if you have what I would say a bad PL or somebody that's not as LTL centric, they can actually make everyone's life more miserable because they're just basically operating like a game of telephone and,
right,
you know, passing through customer questions and concerns verbatim without really putting any critical thinking again and seeing what they can, you know, answer or deflect or solve themselves before just passing it to the carrier. So that would be probably the number one area, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, a good 3PL can really act as a partner to their LTL carriers, and they're really share in just kind of that frontline customer service, you know, time and labor cost.
I always feel like brokers are like the facilitator in all of these things. 3PLs, managed trans, all of those end up being a facilitator. I always think of the person for all the reality television shows at the end of the season, kind of like asking the questions back and forth. They can answer every single question, but they have to make sure that those people interact on their own. I feel like that's just what we
You're talking about, like Chris Harrison,
yes,
from The Bachelor?
That's us.
And
yeah.
We're going to recap? Okay.
Yeah, that's us. Where we know what they need to say. We know what needs to happen, but we let them give us the information. We let people answer their own questions, but we take away the white noise in the process of that, unless they give us full, you know, access to answer on behalf of them.
Okay. Zipline, the TJ Lavin of 3PL. I gotcha.
That's good. Yeah. Another example I can think of, like I'm actually throwing an LTL event here in a couple of weeks through my other brand, Understand LTL. And so we're renting a venue and we're bringing in, you know, caterers, different vendors for different things. We're kind of facilitating this whole thing, right? So we don't own the venue. We're not cooking the food, making the coffee. And we wouldn't expect the attendees to this event to go find, you know, the AV person or
right,
the chef that made the sandwiches for lunch and ask them where they're supposed to sit or what, you know, what the program is going to be. Like we don't necessarily have any assets in the mix there, but we're clearly kind of orchestrating, facilitating it. And that's the value we bring. And that to me kind of lines up with how a 3PL can operate it as well. You know, they don't have to have direct ownership on paper of the assets that their customer's freight is on in order to still provide value, knowledge, data, reporting, communication, you know, just all the things that the customer really wants at the end of the day.
That's a really good point. It's interesting. You gave that example. I think being a 3PL, and again, having done this for almost 2 decades now, which is crazy, but the fact that you are a 3PL, you're in the middle, right? It's right there in the name. You know, it's a pitch to some of our customers, right? You should go focus on making your snack food and getting it on the shelf. We are going to handle the transportation. And it goes the other way. LTL carrier, you should focus on getting it through your network, picking up and delivering on time, providing real-time tracking information, and we will find the freight for you to, you know, fill up your trucks, right? That's literally the job, is to try and facilitate both parties, have a great partnership with each of them, and allow them, both the customer and the LTL provider, the carrier in this case, to focus on the things that they're really, really good at and why they're in business. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think a good 3PL, you know, should, like you say, Jesse, is playing two roles. Like you should be in the list of top and most you know, most favorite customers for your carriers to deal with.
Right.
When it comes just advocating, you know, for them when you need to, paying them on time, just generally having a good low friction relationship. But then on the flip side, you should also be, you know, the best, most favorable service provider, not necessarily carrier, but
yeah,
the best logistics service provider for your customers so they can focus on what they're good at, whatever their product or widget is, and just have peace of mind knowing that they've outsourced their logistics to the right people.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Good summation. Anything around, this is kind of off topic, but anything around data that a 3PL can do for an LTL provider? That's a really hot topic as far as I'm concerned, is that I guess in my experience, the data is super important to provide the best possible price back to your customer. You talk about being that middle person. If you don't get the right data, sometimes that can cause issues on the back end on a shipment by shipment basis.
Do you mean data or specs? Like understanding what
sure,
you're shipping, or
anything.
Do you mean like the past couple shipments as far as KPIs and how long it took them to ship?
I was thinking more on a shipment level specs.
Specs, okay.
We can answer both. Curtis can answer both if he's available.
Sorry, I'm just adding to things you need to answer now, Curtis.
Yeah. Anything else, Teddy?
Let's also, no, I'm just kidding. Please go ahead.
It is a very hot topic question or you know, buzzword in the industry. And my answer might be less exciting and less sexy than it should be. But I think 3PL, their main initiative with data is just keeping it accurate to reality. Meaning that if there's even a 3PL in the mix, that's another potential silo. You know, that's, you've got shipment level or order level data on the customer side. You've got it on the carrier side as soon as it's a quote that turns into a shipment and eventually an invoice, you know, in their system. And then you have this other party now in the mix where arguably, you know, the TMS and whatever technology platforms the 3PL provides does kind of become the system record, you know, for both. So I see a lot of challenges where, you know, you have that upfront order level data coming into the TMS that gets turned into shipments and gets rate quotes put against it. And then the carrier picks up the freight and maybe there's, you know, something that wasn't accurate on the front end with a weight class, like an accessorial or a service that was needed. And so through the process of just that freight moving in reality, you know, the data attached to that real life shipment kind of evolves and gets refined. And usually the carrier ends up with having the most realistic version of that shipment's data on their side. And a lot of 3PLs don't, you know, they may audit and they may dispute and they may kind of come to terms with what's viable from a charges perspective. But a lot of times that just lives in the accounting portion of their company, maybe in, you know, QuickBooks or whatever accounting software they use, but they don't ever go back and update the actual shipment level data in the system, you know, from how it came in initially. And that becomes a problem because where do you go, like in future RFP events or when you are either reporting or sharing data to carriers for pricing purposes, you typically go back to the TMS and you pull out, you know, months or a year, massive quantities of data to share with everybody. And if it's still in that kind of unevolved form, then it's wrong. It's not even representative of what actually happened. So just having that fully closed loop of, okay, here's what the customer is telling us it is, but that's really positioned and translated for their world. You know, like maybe it's more warehouse centric type data. Maybe it's literally just out of their, you know, purchase order system, their ERP. And so we have to make sure as a 3PL, we're responsible for and evolving that data into LTL shipment level data that's accurate. And then once the carrier handles it and they add or remove or modify the data in any way, it's on us to kind of evaluate and agree on what's right and what's accurate based on reality. But eventually, for like as I mentioned, reporting and just future RFP events are kind of the two biggest ones I can think of. You need to come back to square one with here's the data that actually represents, you know, what happened with that shipment in the real world.
I think that's a great point. We have so many customers that will come back to us asking us to double check things because, to your point, the warehouse level data is different than what we may have. And so I think translating it is a perfect way to say it. There's so many things within this industry, specifically LTL, that you do have to translate and kind of give back so they can then take it into their forecasting or, you know, internal conversations to make sure that they are doing the correct things for every customer and also for, you know, their own growth.
It is important to, you know, track carrier performance and service capabilities with what was promised up front versus what actually happened in reality. Taking that back to your customer so they can always have a good sense of, you know, their mix of carrier utilization and just have confidence knowing that the data you're putting in front of them, the charts and visuals and the pretty versions of all that data is accurate and can better inform, you know, future carrier and cost decisions on their side. And then something that, you know, you guys are actually doing right now that I'm helping you a little bit with is getting better carrier facing data to have really to showcase and, you know, help sell like your customers attributes of being shippers of choice to work with and all potential spend and volume and just kind of give the carriers a better real-time view into all the different lane level, you know, location level opportunities that you have across all your clients. Because typically a carrier will be sent a bid, you know, they'll be emailed a data file from which is basically a snapshot in that point of time. They may look at it, they may cost it out, evaluate it. And depending on how much business they actually get, you know, from that account where they then themselves can start collecting data on it because it's on their trailers, they may not have any view into how that customer's evolved or grown or added different customers or what have you. So dual flowing data, you know, of basically evolved, back to the first point, evolved into LTL centric or translated shipment data that is correct based on reality. And then something that is basically both carrier facing and shipper facing is just really, it's a 3PL's responsibility to have that accountability to do that. But it's also a way to really differentiate yourself as a really solid 3PL, because there's sadly still just a lot out there that don't do that.
I think that's another great point. And LTL is one of the easy ones to not have that same accountability on, because it is a non-guaranteed service. And to Jesse's point earlier, maybe you don't have an MABD, but maybe it takes longer to track. Maybe it's a week later than we expected it to be, and it rolled for pickup a couple times, but it's still considered on time for pickup and delivery, because when they pick up, it's when they meant to. That's the way it's supposed to be. And if you aren't able to track that and communicate on it and eliminate some of those issues from your customer's network, it can create more issues. And I think that that's the biggest difference, which, you know, can bring us to a whole nother point of, you know, a good partner, a good broker versus a bad one, which I don't think is as simple to say better tools, better broker, because we've seen and we've talked about it before in other podcasts that you can have all the technology, but if you don't have the experience and if you don't have the customer service, it's not actually going to be better. It's just, you know, in a portal. You're not going to have what you need to get to the next spot. So you really have to have the experience, the good broker, and the tools and technology and how to utilize them.
For sure. And that's actually a sign, I think, of a better versus worse, I guess, for lack of a better term, 3PL or broker, is a lot of the ones that don't have that deep level of experience just go out and buy every third party tool and tech portal they can and throw them at their clients and think that's, you know, them doing their job. But then to your point, Teddy, it's just death by portals. None of them are really connected or used, you know, appropriately. And it definitely is the mixture of both the right tools in the right hands. Like, yeah, it, without question.
There's so many specific examples. You talked about the data and the LTL carrier having being like the front line, having the true information, right? I don't know if it's recent or new to have a carrier to have the digital scanners and or a scale at each terminal. Is that a relatively new development in the last 10 years, Curtis?
A little bit further back. So when I was at Old Dominion, I remember we started getting our first dimensioners in like 2009.
Okay.
But they were one of the first to really go in on that.
Right.
But, you know, there's actually, I won't name names, but there's another large top five national carrier that didn't have a single dimensioner until this year.
Okay. So yeah. I'm with you. You don't know the data until you actually know it. I just made that up, Teddy.
I like it.
Our shipment's 40 by 48 by 60. Well, based on this digital scanner that we have, it's not that. So you're going to have to pay more. But either way, it is what it is. And then you talk about portals and death by portals. Again, another specific example from my past. I picked Carrier X and I dispatched them to pick up on Monday. Well, they missed Monday, they rolled to Tuesday. Then they missed Tuesday. Well, that's twice in a row. I'm going to go to the next carrier on the portal and dispatch them for pickup on Wednesday. Maybe they miss. And then you actually call a terminal or actually have a conversation with somebody. And you find out that, well, the terminal for the carrier X that you picked for the first 2 days is 70 miles away from the shipper, and they only pick up on Wednesdays and Fridays. And so then you miss it again. Those little things go a long way in trying to be the service provider that your customers expect. That's just a little inside baseball. I don't need to inform the three of us on this call, but for our listeners out there.
Something I found too with that is I feel like a good broker, a good carrier, you can tell very quickly by the updates that they give you. Hmm. Nothing makes me crazier than I'm like asking for an update en route. Where? Where is it? When is it going to be there? And understanding the difference of, you know, ETA to the destination terminal versus the delivery and providing updates that actually are going to help someone solve a problem, provide an update, you know, do their job a little bit differently. And I think that all goes back into the updates that you are sending for tracking, you know, during that shipment. And then again, after the shipment, if there was issues, I think we've all been in that situation where we say, yay, it delivered, but it didn't deliver. It dropped trailer, hasn't right. inbounded yet, so it's not delivered. And being able to explain those things to your customer so they can explain it quickly to their buyer when they're angry that the product hasn't been inbounded yet.
Great points that are often overlooked and definitely call out the value of a good 3PL in the equation as well, because it all comes back to carrier, you know, knowledge and then communication. And again, that's a 3PL's job is to get in, build those relationships with, you know, the consistent folks at the terminal that their customers are based near and or at the corporate level, and knowing kind of when to pull those levers, not always race to the top ranked contact you have if you can solve it at a lower level. So there's a lot of just discernment and, you know, having all the deep relationships and connections at any given LTL carrier that you can, but then not wearing them out and just knowing when right. to use them, knowing who to call. And yeah, your examples about, you know, missed pickups and not looking to see, you know, where that terminal was in proximity. I actually just did a LinkedIn post a few days ago about this and kind of broke down, you know, what to know and what to expect if you're, say, 0 to 5 miles from a terminal, 5 to 25 or 25 and up. And it really impacts which time of the day you might get deliveries or pickups, how much access to kind of the pool of drivers that any given carrier might have in their pickup and delivery network, when you should have your, you know, pickup and delivery windows set as a shipper, how many chances you might have if a carrier does show up and your freight's not ready. So there's a lot to it, and you just can't expect every shipper at every location to have that knowledge. So that's where 3PL comes into play.
Boom. That's a great spot to end it. As usual, it fits in with a lot of the values here at Zipline Logistics: communication, partnership, education, and experience. All those things play in when we're talking about the value a 3PL can provide to LTL carriers and LTL shipments. Curtis, thank you for joining us once again. Teddy, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jesse.
For our listeners out there, please like and subscribe, Apple and Spotify. We will see you again on another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. Thanks, Curtis.
Thank you, guys. Great to be back. Hope to again.